looking at the faith that's described in Hebrews 11. And again, when you say, well, I want to preach on faith, there's an avalanche of scripture and knowledge on the subject of faith. So this is by no means an exhaustive look at faith of Christ, faith in God, but just some points that really stuck out to me as I've read through this chapter. And again, tons of sermons preached from Hebrews 11. My goodness. And it's just a beautiful part of this letter to the Hebrews. And hopefully, as we look through tonight, the Lord will use it to strengthen us, to encourage us in our faith. That's what I want us to do tonight. I want us to sharpen one another as we look through this word together, build up one another in the faith, because I believe that's what the author is trying to do to the readers of the early church here in Hebrews as well. And also, just as believers, faith is the door, I guess you could say, that opens up the way for Christ to bring grace into our lives, to brings about salvation. And I don't want us to forget that. We need to be reminded of those truths and those things. So that's my goal tonight, my prayer as we look at this together, that the Lord will use this time that we talk through these verses to encourage us and strengthen us and build us up in the faith. Real quick background on Hebrews. Nobody knows for sure who the author is. A lot of debate, but it's not stated in Scripture, so we don't need to know. That doesn't affect the message of the letter. It does seem to be specifically written to the Jewish believer. A lot of information and parallel having to do with the temple, which, by the way, the writer talked about the temple. It was still standing. So most people think it was written before 70 AD, because in 70 AD, the temple was destroyed. And so there's a lot of information, a lot of tying in together things from the Mosaic law and Jewish history, Jewish matriarchs, heroes of the Jewish history. A lot of that is tied into Hebrews, so it would have made a lot of sense to the Hebrew believer, the Jewish believer, and they needed a letter. If you think about, try to put yourself in their shoes, when a Jewish person came to faith in Christ, they were looked on as a person who had turned their back on their family. They turned their back on their culture to it's like you were denying the law. That was what your whole life, your religion had been built on. And then to turn to this new covenant that Jesus had claimed to fulfill the law of Moses, that was something that none of them had been able to do, was to fulfill the law. And then all of a sudden, this person, Jesus, claims to have done that. They crucified him for it, for that claim. And so it was a lot of persecution from the Jewish community. And then if you go out, well, the Gentiles still see you as a Jew. So unbelieving Gentiles would persecute you as well. So it could be very lonely. And so, again, the writer of Hebrews, especially chapter 11, I think, is taking the opportunity to encourage these believers in their faith. So the letter, it takes us through theologically and historically how Jesus, Hebrews refers to Jesus as a mediator of a better covenant. And the Jews who have understood that language, a covenant, and needed a mediator for it. It offers, this covenant offers the true righteousness that is given by God, the Son, by grace through faith. And all of that is a gift from God the Father. And so that's kind of where we're looking at. And that brings us to chapter 11. Not going to go through the whole chapter. Just a few verses. And we want to look at that. So chapter 11, first six verses. This is from the English Standard Version. It says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation." By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which Abel was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through Abel's faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before Enoch was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So as we've already looked at and kind of going through and talking about the role that faith plays in our own lives, the writer is showing us how faith played a role in the heroes of the Jewish faith as well. And there are three thoughts that kind of kept popping up. And you might notice some faith, obviously. You know, the word faith was in almost every verse that we read. But there's also a phrase that kept showing up in these six verses, things not seen. And then the other word that kept showing up was commended or commendation. So I really want to focus in on those three words: faith, things not seen, and commendation, and see how those things relate to faith as we know it. So let's look at the first one, the word faith. Faith in the Greek, and don't let this confuse you, the name of the book is Hebrews, but it's not written in Hebrew. So that might be counterintuitive, but it's written in Greek, to Hebrews. If you look at a Hebrew dictionary, a Greek dictionary, what is a working definition for faith? And these are some of the words that are used: belief, a confidence, a conviction, assurance, trust. All those things, words, English words we try to use to describe faith, that thing that is given to us. As we look at that with that idea in mind, a belief, a confidence, an assurance or trust. Let's look at faith in some scripture. That's kind of a working definition. Let's look at some. And again, there is an avalanche of scriptures that we could cross-reference the word faith of. But here's one that really kind of comes to my mind. This is back in Habakkuk. Habakkuk's prophet to Judah. God gave him a vision to write down. And this phrase is part of that vision. God is talking to Habakkuk, talking about people who are unjust, kind of set themselves up on their own authority, their own power. They're unjust. And then he contrasts that, but the righteous shall live by his faith. And so that's in Habakkuk. And then that phrase gets quoted in the New Testament. Romans 1:17, for in it, and that it is the gospel. We're kind of jumping in the middle there. The word it is talking about the gospel. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from a faith or out of faith for faith. And then he gives that quote from Habakkuk, for it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. And then one other time, Paul quotes it, it is evident, this is Galatians 3:11, it's evident that no one is justified before God by the law. For the righteous shall live by faith, not the law. The righteous shall live by faith. So again, remember what I said. We live by a belief, a confidence, a trust, an assurance in the one who is faithful. To have the life of faith, I was trying to wrap your mind and your thoughts around what this means for us in our lives. We live by faith, or as the Bible calls it, our walk. How we walk by faith. It means we're not dependent on what we can do. For the Jew, no longer dependent on keeping the law, a set of rules. We're not dependent on our human ability. Instead, we're dependent on an assurance, on a divine hope, that verse 1 in Hebrews says. It's a conviction that what God has said is trustworthy. What God has said is trustworthy because God is faithful. And that's where we get our faith. Not in what we can do or what we can think up or what we can imagine, but what God has done. Because He is perfect. He is trustworthy. I want to look at Hebrews 11, verse 1, and I'll put several different translations up here just to try to help us get, again, a fuller picture of what the writer is trying to convey here, especially these first two verses. Spend a good bit of time on these first two verses, and then hopefully we can use that to go through the remainder of those verses. But the King James, New King James, both translate this first statement of what faith is as the substance of things hoped for, the substance. And then the ESV and an American Standard translate it as assurance. So we got a substance or an assurance. Faith is a substance, or faith is an assurance of things hoped for. And I know many of you heard pastors say, this is not a maybe-so hope. This is a divine hope. It's God-given hope. So a substance, faith is the substance of that hope or the assurance. The NIV and the CSB are more of a thought-for-thought translation, where the first four are a word-for-word translation. So this thought-for-thought translation, the editors use the word confidence. Faith is the confidence in what we hope for, or faith is the reality of what we hope for. Again, just trying to throw a lot of different descriptive words around this because it's such a big thought, a big deal to think about the faith that God has given to us. And then the Amplified Version, as Brother Frank has explained to us before, this is a translation that does a lot of parenthetical notes inside the scripture to kind of help give some insight. So the Amplified Version says that faith is the title deed, or faith is the confirmation of things that are divinely guaranteed, things that are hoped for. I like that. And then it'll go on to it's the evidence of things that are not seen. I love the last section. It says that faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. And we'll talk about that a little bit more. So you see, faith is an amazing blessing. It's something that we should not take for granted. It's something that we should remember. Our hope and our trust, our faith rests in the work of Christ. And it gives us so many things that we're going to see here through these next verses. This word, substance or assurance, that the King James and English Standard translate this word as substance or assurance. I want to talk about that Greek word for a little bit. It is a compound word, So got two Greek words that kind of come together to make this one word. The first word means under. And then the second word means stand. But it's not understand. It's not that word. This stand is firm, to be upright. So it's the word substance or assurance. It has the thought behind it as being the firm footing. So faith is the firm footing of things hoped for. Our divine hope rests in this firm foundation. The foundational support is faith. So I thought that was really good. And earlier in Hebrews 3:14, it's not on the screen, but let me read it to you. It says that we have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original, and here's that same word, confidence or substance or assurance, that firm footing to the end. If indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end, it's that same word that we come to share in Christ because of faith, that firm foundation that he's given to us. And then the second, so we've got a kind of a working knowledge of faith. And remember, that's going to be important because that word is in every verse that we're about to read together, like verses 3 and on. All right, and then the next phrase that kept coming up was this idea of things that are not seen. Faith is the evidence, and if you look on the screen, those same verses in translations, the King James says it's the evidence of things not seen. The English Standard says it's the conviction. Faith is the conviction of things not seen. Faith is the assurance. Faith is the proof. So this Greek word, a Greek thought about what is faith having to do with things that cannot be seen. It is the evidence, the proof, the assurance of things that cannot be seen. Faith allows us a spiritual insight. Our faith is not a blind faith. Over and over, we see man's wisdom, the natural man's wisdom tries to discount and disprove spiritual wisdom. We see that contrasted in Scripture, spiritual wisdom and man's wisdom. The natural world that God has created gives testimony over and over to the evidence that there are things that are unseen. Verse 3 and verse 7 that we're going to look at in a moment talks about those things that are unseen that can only be understood through faith. Well, time and time again, our faith, we put our faith in what God has revealed in his word about the unseen things. And no matter how hard man may try, they cannot be disproven. God's word is truthful. It is trustworthy. It is perfect in every way. In 2 Corinthians, very well-known verses where Paul is talking about, you know, being away from the body is to be at home with the Lord. This is in chapter 5, verse 7, and he's talking about, we know that while we are serving here on this earth, that we are not at home. And since we are not at home, we have to walk by faith. And again, that word walk is not the literal taking one foot in front of the other. It's the living of your life. Because this is not our home, as believers, we're commanded to walk by faith, not by sight. Because there are things that are unseen, and faith is the evidence, the substance, or the proof of those things that are unseen. The last one, so we've got faith. We've got things that are unseen. And the last word I want us to look at, because it comes up several times in these next four or five verses, is commendation. What is the thought behind faith and the commendation? This is in verse 2 of chapter 11. So it says, for by it, and that it is faith. So for by faith, the people of old received their commendation. All right. So verse 2 tells us that the people of old, again, for the Jewish believer, these were their people, all right? And he's going to begin to give a list of the people of old, and we'll see them as we go through it. So this is a key point for the Jewish believer, and the writer wants to be sure they explain this and encourage this Jewish believer that's being persecuted. Hey, let's look at the people of old. They received righteousness, commendation, the same way that you have, even though they had not seen Christ yet. Look in verse 39. Same teaching repeated in verse 2. All these, talking about the people of old, all these, though commended through their faith, again, not because they did some work that is going to be chronicled. We're about to read through people building arts, people building altars, all kind of stuff. But that wasn't what gave their commendation. It was through their faith, even though they didn't get to see what was promised. So again, when things are repeated like that so close together, there's trying to make a point. There. He wants the Jewish believer that had been under the law for so long to understand that key point. So let's look at this word, commendation. So in the Greek, this word, I wanted to write it up there just so you could see it, martyreo. So some of the definitions of this word, commendation, to bear witness, to give a good report, to gain approval, testimony. Right? So the people of old, through faith, received their approval, their testimony, right? Their witness was born. Martyreia. So I wanted you to see that because it's beautiful the way things come together here. To give you some scriptural examples of what a commendation is, we'll look in the book of Acts, and I've got them up on the screen for you for time's sake. These are examples where this word is used, martyreo, and it's used, it's translated rather as someone who is well spoken of. That's the same word as commendation in Hebrews, all right? So here's an example in Acts 10. Cornelius was a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man, martyreo, who is well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation. Directed by the holy angel to send to you. This is talking about Peter being sent to give the gospel. Cornelius is a Gentile. Beautiful, beautiful time in the early church. Later on in Acts 16, this is talking about Timothy. This is the first time Timothy and Paul meet, and it says that Timothy was martyreo, well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. So he had a good report, a good witness. And then the last one, very, very same things. One Ananias, and here's his martyreo, a devout man, according to the law, well spoken of by the Jews who lived there. This is the Ananias. This is not the Ananias that lied about the offering of wives of fire who were killed. This is the Ananias who lived in Damascus, who was sent by God to the blind Saul to be, God used him to restore his Saul, later to become Paul's sight. And so he had a good report by the Jews who lived there. So that's kind of an idea of what that means. It's going to be a little bit different in these verses in Hebrews that we're going to look at, but that gives you kind of an idea of what it's talking about, a commendation. And if you'll go back, that word martyreo, you can see a word, an English word that we get it from, and it's the word martyr, if you see that there. This commendation, good witness, the good report, the approval, The word martyr is also going to come out of this word, and we'll see that in chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of Martyr is our English word. Witnesses is how it's translated in the English there. It's the same word. So again, you see the witness, the good report, that idea of the commendation. Same word there. And many of them did lose their life or gain their life, however you want to look at it possibly, for the sake of the gospel. And that's our definition of the word martyr. All right, so we've got those three thoughts together, got a working knowledge of what the writer's trying to talk about with faith, the idea of having a commendation, being able to see things that are unseen. So now real quickly, I've already gone longer than I wanted to, but real quickly, I want to go through these next four verses and kind of see what he's talking about. So Todd, here we go. I'm going to go kind of fast, all right? Verse 3. So by faith, that firm assurance, right, we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God. At that point, the Word of God was unseen. We did not have the written Word yet. That is something that is unseen, and by faith we understand that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. This is something that you can't, you cannot create an experiment in a laboratory to reproduce. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You know this only through faith, that God created time, space, and matter with His Word. In the beginning, created the heavens, created the earth out of nothing. You can only know that by faith. That's a key point that the page one of the Bible makes this claim, and it is only known through by faith. Let's keep going. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which, here's our word, he was commended as righteous. So again, faith, not because his sacrifice, it was because of his faith. Cain did not have that. And because of that, we keep going, God commended him. So this is not man's commendation like we saw in Acts. This is a divine commendation. God has given his divine testimony to of Abel by accepting his gift. And through Abel's faith, though he died, he still speaks, and indeed he does. We're speaking of it right now. Let's keep going quickly. Verse 5, by faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. He was not found because God had taken him. And before he was taken, he was commended, given a good report. Of what? Of being a nice guy? No. As having pleased God. Through faith, commended through faith as having pleased God. And verse 6 is going to tie this in together. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. So we know Enoch, if it says Enoch pleased God, it had to be through faith, because that's the only way God can be pleased. It is impossible to please God through any other way than through faith. Whoever would draw near to God must believe, there's the faith, that he exists, that's the invisible, that he rewards those who seek him, that is the divine hope. That's what faith is there. Let's go just a few more. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet, what? Unseen. So again, it wasn't that Noah was an awesome ark builder. It's because his faith was in God, not his ability, of something that he had not seen. Faith is the assurance of things unseen. He constructed the ark, and then skip down to, let me finish verse 7. So by this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness. Remember, the righteous live by what? Faith. So he became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. All right, so think about being the Jewish believer. He's heard about Enoch. He's heard about Abel. He knows these people. These are part of the Genesis story, the Torah that he would have known from birth, right? So he's seeing now it's not because of some great thing that these people have done. It's because the God they believed in was great. And verse 8 through 12, you get Abraham, Father Abraham to the Jew. It shows how he believed God to go to a foreign land, believed God to create a nation. Brother Frank took us through Abraham's life a few weeks ago. And then his wife, Sarah, believed God and was given the power to conceive at an old age. All those things done not by any strength or might of the person, of the patriarch or matriarch of the Jewish faith, but because of the faith in God that they had. And then verse 13, I want us to look at that. These all died in faith, having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar. Things they never got to experience in person. They saw a glimpse, but they didn't have faith because they saw it. Because faith is the substance or the proof of things that are unseen. And we go on. And through those, and the rest of the chapter, we're not going to look at, but the rest of the chapter looks at, you know, Isaac and Jacob and Moses, all those people foundational to Jewish teaching. And the writer is showing the Jewish believer over and over and over, faith, by faith in Christ, by faith in God, by faith. And as we look through this last part, here comes the application for us. We've already looked at it, but let's look at it in whole with a couple of verses around it. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of commendation, martyreo, witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Let us run with endurance the race that has set before us. Not in our own power, no. We're looking to Jesus, the founder, the perfecter of our faith, the giver of our faith, who for joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame of the cross, but is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Our examples of faith in Hebrews show us the effect that faith in God had on their lives. And it affected their lives all the way to the end of them. Their words and their deeds were not an attempt to earn faith, but they were a proof of their genuine faith. So let this be our lesson tonight as we close. The biblical definition of faith causes action to be taken in our lives. Whether it's obedience to God for something or discipline from God, as chapter 12 is going to bring in a few verses from verse 2. We live with assurance of and hope, a divine hope, with conviction of things that we can't fully see or understand. That is faith working in us, in our lives. We walk in this world by faith in God, not by our own sight. I pray that as we've looked at these scriptures tonight, we will be remembered of those things. Not to go in our own strength and our own might, but in the power of Christ who has given us grace through faith. He's opened up that door, that new and living way to give righteousness. Not by works of the law, but by faith alone. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we thank you. Thank you for the faith that you have given to us, that you have worked a mighty work, a miracle, and given us the righteousness of Christ, exchanging that for the sin and filthy rags that they are, made us new, and given us a hope and a future. God, we thank you. Thank you again for your wonderful word. Help us to walk in it by faith in all things. And it's in the name of Christ we pray it. Amen.